modern magazines are plastered with glamorous images of the rich and famous. With perfect skin, luminous eyes, and every hair perfectly in place. But what we see on the surface fails to reveal the flaws and blemishes beneath the facade. It's an airbrushed reality. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents message number 22 in a 22-part classic series on Abraham. At the end of the program, we'll explain how to receive the complete set. Right now, we'll begin by reading from Hebrews chapter 11, where we find the portrait of a hero, warts and everything.
We have been poring over the life of Abraham, not to entertain anybody, though I hope all of it has been interesting. But we come today to the last of 22 messages on this wonderful life. So significant that his life takes up over 1/4 of the first book of the Bible. The space given to him is more space in Hebrews 11 than any other individual. The only reason I know that is I've pored over the 11th of Hebrews, and something as simple as counting the verses given to Abraham, and found that he has more ink on these pages than any other character, which tells us something. Now, to prepare us for the message, please open your Bible to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 has been called many things. Some call it God's Hall of Faith. Others, the Reader's Digest of the Old Testament, where the Lord has sort of given us in a capsule version a number of the great lives and then paraded them before us, sometime in just one verse, sometime in two or three verses, but all the way through it's to help us understand that these were people of faith. Hebrews 11 begins, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval." Verse 8. "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and he as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Verse 17. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said in Isaac, 'Your descendants shall be called.' He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type."
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Portrait of a Hero, Warts and Everything.
I have always loved the Bible's realism. I love it that it isn't a book of theory. It's a book about real life, real people going through real experiences. And it tells us the truth, have you noticed? Often tells us the whole truth. This approach sort of reminds me of the way that the well-known man from the 17th century England, Oliver Cromwell, conducted his own life, never really all that impressed with himself, though he held an extremely high office. While speaking with Parliament on one occasion, Oliver Cromwell admitted, "I would have been glad to have kept a flock of sheep rather than have undertaken this government." Don't you love people like that? That honest, that open. During his heyday, he became extremely popular, as you would imagine. And even though certainly never self-serving, his popularity led a number of people to begin pressing him to have his portrait painted. He did so only reluctantly. He saw little need for it and didn't cooperate too well. In fact, before it ever began, he said to the portrait painter, and I quote, "I desire you would use all your skill to paint my picture truly like me, and not flatter me at all, but remark all these roughnesses, pimples, warts, and everything as you see me. Otherwise, I will never pay a farthing for it." I like that statement. Farthing is worth about a fourth of a penny. So listen, bud, if you're going to paint my picture, paint it warts and all. You don't expect that coming from a celebrity. Certainly not in our day. They're heavy on cosmetics. They like airbrush strokes. They're all self-absorbed, covering up the truth, hoping no one really sees the reality of who they are and how they look, so unlike the Lord Protector of England, who said, "Paint me warts and all." That's the way the Bible portrays all of its characters. It dares you to pedestalize or worship anyone other than Christ. That's why when you see lives portrayed before us, you don't get any phony baloney. I've lived my life long enough to where I really despise fakery, especially false piety. People that are so busy trying to make you realize how spiritual they are, the way they look. You know, you've seen them. It's like those guys sitting in ladder back chairs on the other side of the table that was painted for the Last Supper. That's not the way it was. Their feet were dirty. They weren't sitting in chairs. They weren't on one side of the table posing for the artist. They were sitting on the floor, sitting around. It was real. There was nothing phony about it, except Judas, who lied through his teeth and through his looks until the truth became known. But you come to people in the Bible, you can count on this, you'll get reality. Now, you will be impressed, no doubt, for after all, reality is very impressive. But you will find that they're all like Elijah admitted, "I'm a man of like passions, just like you are." So this causes me to say to all of you, become good students of biographies. There's rarely a time in the year when I'm not reading a biography. Not necessarily a biography of someone in the Bible, though that may be true. Often it's of an individual who has lived in years past. And I learn from studying that life. And I find out how many things are cyclical, how many things repeat themselves, how another person got through a difficult time, how this person faced criticism, how that individual, while honored, was not in any way arrogant or conceited. So for that reason, I've come up with about four benefits of studying biographies. So why don't you write them down? Maybe it'll whet your appetite for doing that in the months ahead on your own. What is the benefit of making the study of a biblical biography? First, it translates truth into life. It translates truth into life. You see, theological subjects can be boring. They can be theoretical. They may be right, but they can seem awfully sterile and abstract. But when you put those truths into a life, it's amazing how they burst into life, like a flower bursts its bloom. One of my great mentors, now gone from us, Dr. Howard Hendricks, used to say to us as we were students in his classroom, incarnate the truth. Incarnate the truth. Good thing to remember. Lives in the Bible incarnate the truth. For example, I could do a series on suffering, and it would be a series I would preach, and you would listen, and you would leave, and things would be pretty much the same. But if I do a series on Job, it's amazing how the truth of suffering comes to life. It makes new sense. Or maybe one not so long as Job, the thorn in the flesh that Paul lived with, prayed about on three separate occasions, and each time the Lord said, no, 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 I'm not going to remove it. Look at suffering through eyes that have gone through times like that. How about Daniel in the lion's den? Down there without anything to defend himself except the living God. And there have been others, of course. Joseph, who was thrown in a dungeon after being unfairly declared by a woman who said he raped her, when, of course, he never touched her. And he lives in this dungeon, misunderstood, for over 2 years. That's suffering. So it translates truth into life. Here's another benefit. It provides a closer kinship with those we have admired from a distance. When you study a life in the Bible, you feel like you've met a friend. And that friendship comes up close and personal. You have a oneness with a prophet like Elijah, or a leader like Moses or Esther, or a woman who has lost her husband and is going through life wondering what the Lord has for her, named Ruth. All of a sudden you feel a kinship to a person like that, and that friendship is filled with respect and gratitude. Here's a third benefit for studying biography. It stabilizes us when we have similar experiences. You realize you're not alone when you lose your baby, if you're a student of the life of David, who lost his. Young, still in diapers, lost his baby, and went through the grief of that loss. Or maybe you're at work and you have a tough boss. Your superior is hard to deal with. Speaking of David, he served a man named King Saul who went crazy. And Saul hunted and haunted David's life for over 12 years. You study David in that episode or that transitional period before he was king, between about age 17 until he's 30. And you'll appreciate how to deal with a difficult and oppressive superior. Maybe you have a strained relationship with your mother. So did Esau. And when you study the life of Esau, you'll get insight into how to deal with a strained mother relationship. Or if you find yourself at odds with a co-worker or maybe another Christian, the last few verses at the end of Acts chapter 15 reveal two men, both we respect, Barnabas and Saul, later to be named Paul. Paul and Barnabas stand toe-to-toe on an issue, in which they've disagreed. And frankly, they never come to reconciliation. They separate disagreeing. Sometime a conflict doesn't reconcile. Sometime you have to go your way and the other person must go hers or his way. You get encouragement when you read the last verses about Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15. One more let me name. It enables us to maintain a divine perspective on life. Another life found in the scriptures rubs off on ours, and we gain a divine perspective. It is so easy to become a worrier, to be swamped by failure, for example, until you study the life of Peter. And you see a man who denied his Lord on three separate occasions at the most difficult period of Jesus' life on earth. And you find yourself encouraged because Peter was able to live past that failure. You learn how he did it and how the Lord dealt with him. Maybe you feel like an unknown, sort of like a blip on the screen, and life doesn't seem all that significant. You wonder how to conduct yourself. Study Jabez, a virtually unknown character over in the Old Testament who emerges out of all of those epitaphs of difficult names, and suddenly he stands alone as a man who asked of God great things, and God granted him what he requested. Jabez, who, by the way, Yavetz, comes from the Hebrew word that means pain. And he prays in his prayer, Lord, let me not live to be a Jabez, to bring pain to you or to others. And the Lord granted him what he requested. So it is a wonderful story. Now, Abraham, we find ourselves in Hebrews 11, sort of a reduced version of the 14th chapters in the book of Genesis. Did you know that over one-fourth of the first book of the Bible is dedicated to Abraham? That's a lot of space. That's a lot of print to give to one life. As important as all the others were, there's something about Abraham that stands out as the father of the faithful. And then you get to Hebrews, as mentioned earlier, more space given to Abraham than any other single individual who is mentioned. So when you come across that, realize there's a reason, and that life often bears further attention. Here, I want to point out, as we review his life for the last time, some of the heights and some of the depths, because he, like Elijah, was a man just like we are. He went through some of the same things we go through. And in some ways he succeeded, in other ways he failed. Let's look first at some of his successes. I call them his heights. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 8. The first thing I would name is this. When he was called, he obeyed. When he was called, he obeyed. Verse 8, Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, don't go too quickly. First two words are the most important. By faith, not by sight, not because he had a printout of what the future held. No, no, no. In absolute confidence in his God, by faith, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out. Look at the last six words, not knowing where he was going. Remarkable. Remarkable fact. And when you add to it that he's 75 years old. Many people, 75, think it's a risk to walk to the front porch or to go to the store alone. Abraham went out from his homeland where he had lived all of his life, right there by his mama and his daddy in Ur of the Chaldeans. He put all of their belongings on a cart. His 65-year-old wife sat by him, and they took off, not knowing where they were going. All they knew was they were called. They were called. Great things await you if you're willing to obey without knowing all the details. And I've suddenly at that moment reduced this group of listeners to a very few, unfortunately. Most of us want to know too much. If we know it all, there's no faith involved. We need to know the experience of taking an occupation we've never held before. We need to know by faith that we can step into something over our head and we can do it. God will give us what's needed because he's called us to go there. Or to change careers midstream, that's another one. I see people doing that all the time and I admire them. This is an inexperienced journey for us. Think of what Abraham did not have. He had no map. Now, stop right there. I am a map neurotic. I love maps. Our youngest son, Chuck, recently moved from Frisco up 15 miles south of Canada in the state of Washington. So, I bought him a book of maps since he was going to drive. After all, he's only 42 and may not know how to get there without Dad helping him. Well, he was very grateful. He said, thanks. Thanks, Dad. That's great. I said, why don't I follow you along? You stay in touch with me. I'm not going to drive. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about following the map. So you check in with me from time to time, and I'll see where you are. And I got a book of maps, too. So I'm gonna follow along and see where you're going. And so he said to me one of those evenings, we took a little different route. And I go, really? Hold on. Where did you go? Well, we took 56 instead of 75. 56? Look at that. Must have been scenic. Very scenic, Dad. It was great. You would have loved it. Wow, that's terrific. I had a map. It was great. Abraham, nothing. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. How are you going to get there? I'm not sure. You got all your stuff? Yeah, I got all my stuff. So, you going north? I don't know. What are you doing? I'm obeying. I'm going out, not knowing the details. Think of what else he didn't have. No precise destination, no travel agency, no security for protection. He's a wealthy man. Could have been robbed. Yep. No hotel accommodations. No strong roots from mom and dad to fall back on. They're idolaters. He couldn't even have them pray for him. They don't even believe in his God. He was raised like that. I'm talking on his own. He went out. And when it says not knowing where he was going, it's not an exaggeration. Now, why do I camp on this? That's because it's something, may I say it? Most of us would have real difficulty doing. I urge you to step out if he's calling you and to trust him.
It's possible you're listening to these biblical principles and God is prompting you to step out in faith. Maybe for the first time, you're ready to step forward, just as Abraham did, into the unknown. We urge you to listen carefully to God's Spirit. As a further resource, we invite you to listen to Chuck Swindoll's presentation in its entirety. Today's edition of Insight for Living features just a portion of the 22 sermons contained in this classic series. As we conclude Chuck's biographical study of Abraham this coming Thursday, we urge you to make your request for the CDs or the downloadable audio files right away. You'll find it all at insightworld.org. As an added bonus, there's another CD we'd like to send you. February is widely known as the month of romantic love. With this in mind, we've set aside a free CD that contains a message from Chuck called Practical Advice on Making a Marriage Stick. In this full-length CD, Chuck gives biblical counsel on how to build a marriage that will last a lifetime. For a complimentary copy, give us a call right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/advice. This offer is only valid in the United States. And then, as a further investment in your relationship, we're pleased to offer a popular book written by our teacher. It's called Marriage, From Surviving to Thriving. Let's face it, marriage and the home have altered drastically through the years. Men afraid to be men, women ashamed of being women, children unsure of who's in charge, blended and not so well blended families. Some homes have become more like battlegrounds. Well, Chuck's book offers a refreshing dose of hope and practical help. Again, it's called Marriage, From Surviving to Thriving. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org. Once again, if you're listening in the U.S., call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org.
Deep blue waters, ancient glaciers, waterfalls cascading from forested mountainsides.
Find rest and beauty as you vacation with Chuck Swindoll, June 30th through July 7th, 2018, on the Insight for Living Ministries cruise to Alaska.
When was the last time you lingered at the balcony of a cruise liner or counted bald eagles sitting in towering trees along the shoreline? Probably never. Until now.
This is the time to breathe deep and create memories. Get away to a spectacular place that points you vividly towards your Creator.
You and your loved ones will set sail with us for a week of cruising, laughter, fun, the study of God's Word with friends from Insight for Living.
Join Chuck Swindoll for an Alaskan cruise, June 30th through July 7th, 2018. To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Listen Wednesday at this same time when Chuck Swindoll paints the portrait of a hero, warts and everything, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Portrait of a Hero, Warts and Everything, was copyrighted in 2013 and 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.